Yeah, we're waiting for Toby to get back. We're going to have the next three talks are going to be our UC Davis contingent here with Toby and Randy Southard and Stu Pettigrove. And then we'll have a finale where we go back to Pennsylvania, and James will be talking finally in the final talk of this session on the terroir of Pennsylvania again. So with that, I'd like to introduce Toby O'Jane, talking about development of geographic nutrient management regions for wine grapes based on soil and landscape characteristics. So, Toby O'Jane.
Thank you. So, hello everyone. Today I'm going to introduce, I guess, a terroir-based approach to a conceptual model of potassium management in the Lodi wine grape district. And I'm going to be followed by Randy Southard and Stu Pettigrove, who are going to kind of backfill with the details behind the project. And then Hideomi Minashima is going to present a poster on some of the pedologic detail of this study. So today I'm presenting the conceptual model. So the Lodi Wine Grape District is located in the Central Valley in Northern California, on the eastern edge of the Central Valley. And it's really a pedologic playground for people like me. It's about 100,000 acres and encompasses a wide range of different soil types. And the interesting thing also that kind of makes this a fun project is that the stakeholders that are interested in potassium management have kind of conflicting ideas of what they need. The growers want a fertilizer recommendation that will optimize yield, and the winemakers are concerned about the potassium in the berry, which affects wine quality. So when we're developing a potassium recommendation, we have to consider the variability of soils, but also we have to address those soils that are fixing K, making deficiencies, but considering those soils that have a high native fertility that could potentially, if fertilized, cause excess potassium in the berry. So I'm just going to kind of fly by this slide, but for those of you who are not aware, there are soil properties that affect the potassium in the soil environment. In particular, that's the clay mineralogy. Vermiculite is our K fixer, fixing Ks in the fixing potassium in the tetrahedral layer between clay colloids. Smectite clays and kaolinite clays do not fix potassium. Vermiculite in particular kind of has a transient lifetime in the soil environment. In our granitic soil, alluvium, this material rather rapidly forms in soils, but then weathers in our older material. So it has a fixed lifetime in the soil environment. Kaolinite, on the other hand, is present in our highly weathered soils, and smectite present in unique topographic positions. So vermiculite is our K-fixer, but these other clay minerals are important because they have different cation exchange capacities, which affects the ability of the soil to supply potassium to the plant. So what we need to be concerned with are two factors, really, in our region. We need to consider the weathering environment of the soils, so where, which soils, highly weathered, intermediately weathered, or very young soils, contain vermiculite and possibly fix K, and the parent material, which affects the weathering trajectory of the clay minerals. So this is a stratigraphic diagram, a cross section of the east side of the Central Valley from the west, extending east into the Sierra Nevada Mountains. The Lodi Woodbridge Wine Grape District starts about at the center of this diagram and continues west into the center of the San Joaquin Valley. And it's largely composed of a series of fan terraces. Our most recent terrace, our youngest materials, are located in the western portion of the district. Our older materials are located in the eastern portion of the district. And to complicate the issue, the source material of the alluvium has changed through time. At the onset of the Sierran uplift, the Sierras were capped with a metamorphic, both metasedimentary and metavolcanic rock. as the Sierras were uplifted, that cap, so to speak, was removed, sending metamorphic alluvium down into the valley basin. This exposed the granitic batholith, which emitted huge pulses of granitic alluvium due to glaciation and continual erosion. And so that material was then covered and spilled into the San Joaquin Valley. So as those Sierra Nevada mountains uplifted, they brought up the head portion of the fan with them, essentially exhuming these older fan deposits through erosional forces. So we end up with here in this region our old metamorphic alluvium that is emplaced about 600,000 years ago. And then we have some moderately old, moderately weathered granitic alluvial terraces that are also moderately dissected in the center of our district, and then our recent alluvium in the west. Another little nuance to our study is that our oldest parent materials on the eastern edge of the valley are essentially andesitic lahars that originated in the High Sierras and pounded the existing drainage networks, made their way into the valley, partially buried to completely buried, uplifted, exhumed by erosion, and dissected heavily by erosion. So, considering this kind of chronolitho sequence of soils across the Lodi Woodbridge Wine Grape District, we have the following objectives. First is to develop this landscape targeted model to predict the fate of potassium across this sequence. It's located right here in the Central Valley. Essentially, we're trying to model the clay mineral assemblages, hence the potassium availability. We are going to do this by repackaging soil survey, querying Sergo data to identify these potassium, what we're calling potassium management zones. And they're based on the degree of soil development and the characteristics of the parent material. So I'm just going to kind of first walk you through some of the major geographic regions that we've identified. We've essentially stratified the landscape into five different regions. The first being our fine textured alluvial basins. This is where we find our smectitic clay mineralogy. You see some concentrations of this zone here at the edge of what we call the Calaveras River alluvial fan. And we also see it near the San Joaquin River Delta, where we have low energy depositional areas, also along some floodplain areas. So we queried this area by simply querying vertisols and other soils, primarily mollisols, with smectitic mineralogy class. And then our conceptual idea of this soil region is that there is essentially moderate amount of kaolin-rich weatherable minerals. This is mainly sourced from granitic material, but these are the fine particles. The weather intensity is relatively low. It was deposited over the last 14,000 years. We have a high exchangeable K capacity because of the high clay content and the high CEC associated with smectite minerals. But we have no K fixation in these soils. This is what we're essentially hypothesizing. This is a typical profile. We have AP horizon over a couple BSS horizons. Note, this is actually a lithologic discontinuity, a sandier, red weathered material that maybe you could just put, save in the back of your mind for when I wrap up. I can talk about this some more. Okay, so our second region, region two, we actually divided into two sub-regions. And that's because there's another little detail that I left out in that cross-section. And that is that some of our alluvial fans, the existing drainages, reach into the Sierra Nevada foothills, which are still capped with metamorphic alluvium, whereas other drainage systems extend all the way into the Sierras where the granitic terrain is. And so the granitic alluvium is weathering to vermiculite. The metamorphic alluvium is weathering mainly to smectite and a small amount of kaolinite. So to identify these two different regions, we first queried haplozerols, or I'm sorry, xerols and xerofluvents. But then we segregated the two based on the family particle size class. In the case of our granitic alluvium, which was mostly coarse, we queried coarse loamy particle size classes. And to identify our metavolcanic and metasedimentary alluvium, we queried fine loamy and fine silty particle size classes. One little nuance is that we also threw into this region our sandy particle size classes, because we're hypothesizing that these are so coarse, there's really no clay or silt that has the capability of fixing K. So our theory in these regions is that in terms of K-rich weatherable minerals, we're high in region 2A, moderate in 2B. Our weather intensity is low for both because this is material that was deposited over the last 80,000 years. Exchangeable K is low in our coarse loamy materials, moderate in our fine loamy and fine silty materials, and K fixation potential is moderate in our coarse loamy soils, where we're just starting to see some weathering or alteration of the mica to vermiculite, and no vermiculite and hence no K fixation in our metavolcanic and metasedimentary alluvium. So in region 3, this is a query of our undulating low fan terraces. This is our oldest granitic alluvium that we find in our district. And you can see that it occupies a large extent of Sacramento County, a somewhat smaller extent of San Joaquin County, but that's mainly because it's been buried by this large alluvial fan from the McCollumee River. You can see some remnants of it peeking out underneath Stockton, the city of Stockton. So you can imagine that this material is probably buried and extending clear out here into the basin. To identify these soils, we queried Duri-Xerops, Paley-Xeralfs, and Duri-Xeralfs from Surgo data. And we had to then use series name criteria to identify which soils were actually on granitic alluvium versus metavolcanic alluvium, which I'll get to in a second. But these are the soils which we predicted would have the highest K fixation potential. And that's because these are moderately well-developed soils to somewhat highly developed soils with a high vermiculite content. So we predict that the K-rich minerals, there's still some biotite and potassium feldspar in this material, so we predict moderate amounts of K-rich weatherable minerals, weather intensity of essentially moderate weathering intensity. Exchangeable K, we're saying, is kind of low, and that's largely because the K fixation potential of these soils we predict to be very high. So the oldest alluvium in our region is what we're calling region 4, our rolling dissected fan terraces. Now this is the material that was in place about over 600,000 years ago. Its source is from metavolcanic and metasedimentary alluvium, and it's very old. It's weathered to kaolinite in most settings. We queried it with the same query from Surgo as we did with region 3. So we had to separate these two regions based on series names. Fortunately, the mappers differentiated those two landscapes based on the different lithology, granitic versus metamorphic. So there were a handful of soil series in this setting that allowed us to pull that and separate the two regions. So here in this highly weathered material, we expect a low amount of K-rich weatherable minerals, a very high weathering intensity, a moderate exchangeable K, and that's mainly because the clay content is so high. Even though it's mostly kaolinite, it's very high clay content, 40 and up. So we suggested a moderate exchangeable K content, and then we predicted no K fixation. So our final soil region is our region 5, we're calling, and this is the dissected volcanic terraces. This is the andesitic alluvium, or lahar, that is deposited in the valley and then scoured out over millions of years. It was deposited between 3 and 10 million years. And because this material is high in potassium. We have the potassium feldspars in this. We predicted a high K-rich weatherable mineral source, weather intensity of low. This is a 3 to 10 million year old landscape, because it's so highly dissected, the rate of soil erosion outpaces the rate of soil development. The exchangeable potassium, we say, is high. Smectite is the dominant soil mineral that's released upon weathering, and the clay content is around 15% in the subsoil. And K fixation potential, there's no vermiculite derived from these soils, so we predict no K fixation. We queried this region by querying haplozerols, and if you noticed, haplozerols were part of my query of region 2. And again, we have this situation where we had to separate the regions based on the series name. And again, the mappers in this area posted a select number of series names to map in this volcanic landscape, which makes sense. So there's only 3 soil series that are mapped in this region. So we extracted this region that way. So just to put all these areas, these regions together, this is our summary map of the potassium management zones in the Lodi wine grape district. And you see this big gray area. These are our kind of poorly drained, a lot of peat soils. There's not a lot of grapes in this area. There are some, but we chose to ignore that for this study. So what we did is we just wanted to validate this conceptual model. I think we had about 150 pits, and what I'm plotting here is just K fixation potential here on the y-axis versus soil region on the x-axis. And what I've done here is I've just taken the mean of weighted profile averages of K fixation potential. Positive numbers showing K fixation, negative or zero showing no K fixation. And in general, the conceptual model worked. There were some places where we need to learn a little bit more. For example, where's my pointer? Region 1 is our smectitic basin alluvium. We predicted no K fixation, and indeed we see K fixation. Largely, we believe this is the case because if you remember that photo, the subsoil had a lithologic discontinuity. And this is essentially material from Region 3, highly weathered granitic alluvium. And the basin alluvium essentially onlapping onto these older land surfaces. So the thickness of that smectitic alluvium is quite variable. Where we have thin veneers of it, we start to see K fixation in the subsoil. Region 2A, where we predicted moderate K fixation, we actually see pretty high K fixation, and this is a standard deviation here, and it's quite variable. And again, the variability surprised us a little bit, and I think that's largely because within an individual profile, we tend to see no K fixation in the upper 50 to 60 centimeters, but then again, some K fixation in the subsoil. And this, I think, is either slightly older, more well-developed B horizons, but it also could be a sedimentological effect where the most recent unweathered material is deposited on top, older materials on bottom, which could have more vermiculite and fixed K. 2B matched our model of no K fixation with low variability. Region 3 also matched our model of high K fixation potential, but a surprising amount of variability. But in general, where we accompanied or found that variability was on the interface or interfingering of Region 3 with Region 4. So we have some local reworking of Region 4 that's then filling into the low terraces of Region 3. And then Region 4 didn't work quite so well. We predict no K fixation, and we actually saw some K fixation, but we saw a very high degree of variability. And that is the case because, again, these are dissected terraces. The tops of those terraces are relatively stable old landforms, but the side slopes and valley bottoms are essentially importing modern alluvium, have imported glacial outwash, so there's quite a bit of mixture with granitic materials in this metavolcanic landscape. The final region five, did match our model of no K fixation. As you can see, we have extremely negative values with a minimal amount of variation. So we're happy to see that. So this model is a work in progress, and it kind of sets the stage, or as a platform, for us to learn more about the pedology and the potassium management in this area. We're just now starting to put plots into these regions so that we can perform or diagnose K prescriptions for each region. And we look forward to learning more about these landscapes. So if there's anything else, I'd be happy to ask and answer any questions.
Okay, let's give Toby a hand.